Things just are going from bad to worse over there at Target. Yet another analyst is coming out downgrading the stock. We're going to dig into this. Was there one product in particular that really just maybe touched a nerve? I think so. We're going to have one of the former executives there at Target, a guy who knows a ton about retail. That would be Jerry Stork. He's going to come on and he's going to talk with us about all the problems that Target is struggling with right now. And by the way, like, it is not just what's going on from a PR perspective. Like, this company, like, fundamentally here has a whole lot of trouble when you think about the economy in general and people not spending as much and they can't manage their inventory and they get so much theft. And now, of course, they have the PR disaster that just keeps getting worse. I mean, I look at it and I say, this is a lot like Bud Light, because they clearly didn't understand, didn't know their customer. Someone like had this whole Tuckett thing go through along with, well, you know, the designer who happened to, in his spare time, moonlight by designing Satan-inspired merchandise. You know, there's that sort of whammy out there too. So they get a few things going on. And as they pull this merchandise from the front of their stores and put it in the back, well, people are not happy that are part of that community. And simultaneously, the actual customers that go to Target every day, they're not so happy that, you know, they've got swimsuits that are referring to children's genitalia. I mean, I'm sorry, like, that's just what it is, right? So, like, somebody should have been able to figure that out ahead of time. But this is a company that's got all kinds of problems right now. It's pretty darn clear. You look at the stock price, and I want to show you this stock price before I do a quick word from one of our sponsors. But, like, you look at the stock price, and it is so clear. This company is in for it. Like, I don't think the economy is getting any better. So if you get a little discretionary money to spend on something extra, are you going to really do it at Target? I ask. I don't think so. Okay. Parts of the show are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals, legacypminvestments.com. That's where you can go to buy and sell gold and silver. legacypminvestments.com. You can do it right there on the website. It's actually new for this company. It's pretty neat. I've gone on myself to look at how it all works. It's a little like having a brokerage account or something. You can buy literally and sell all of this gold and silver. They tell you the spot price on everything. But if you are not comfortable doing it on your own and you want maybe a little bit of guidance or some suggestions, or maybe you want to go back to IRA, you can call them. Just call them at 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560, Legacy Precious Metals. You know, they have been the very first sponsor on the show. They were the first sponsor on the show. They've been here from the very beginning. Charles Thorngren over there, the CEO, you've probably seen him. I have him on from time to time to talk about inflation, to talk about the debt crisis, to talk about the long-term fundamentals of the country. And of course, well, you know, he's selling gold. So he's very, very concerned about it. Well, rightly so. I think we all should be, but also simultaneously, really, in his view, gold is one of those hedges that you might want to look at. So take a look, go check out the site. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, let's get back to what exactly is going on here at Target, because they came out with earnings on May 17th, and it was really interesting at the time. The Wall Street community actually reacted somewhat positively, even though when I heard the numbers, I'm like, wait a second, guys, like, you get that much theft? If you recall, I did the story. They've had upwards of $500 million on theft, and that is a problem that continues to plague them, and it has obviously been growing significantly in this, like, less law and order oriented society, whatever you want to think about that. They have a major theft problem and they're going to have to get better technology in place to manage it. So there was that. And there was sales that were basically flat compared with, say, competitors like Walmart, which were up some 7%. And so they're not looking so good, right? And then came, well, you know what? And I got a lot to say on that coming up. But before I do, let me show you the stock. And then I want to get over to Gerald, because I think he can give us a little bit more insight. In other words, it's not just, it is. And I have a very special little item coming up after the interview that I want to share with you. But before I do, I want you to understand the complexity of this from all angles. And he will give us that. But take a look here. This is the stock price. Yikes. Right? Do you see where it was? This is on May 17th. Target shares were up at $161 a share, and now you're down around $130. That's not a good trajectory. I mean, that's a loss of some $13 billion or so in the span of a couple of weeks. Kind of scary, right? Right? You think? I'm so happy to welcome into the conversation as we talk about Target here, Gerald Storch. He is the former CEO of the company. See, he knows a thing or two about all this. And we've been watching, of course, the stock price decline significantly. Obviously, Jerry, there are some PR issues that we'll get to in a moment going on. But ahead of that, let's just back up for a second, because this is a company that it strikes me has like one big giant mess that it's sitting on, not just from a PR perspective, but I mean, you look at the theft numbers that they came out with recently. You also look at those earnings numbers, which were, I guess, okay. But when you compare them to competitors like Walmart, as you predicted, by the way, ahead of earnings, they're not looking so hot. Your take on Target right now.
Sure, Tricia. First of all, I wasn't CEO at Target. I was vice chairman.
Forgive me.
A bunch of other retailers like Toys R Us and Hudson Bay that owns Saks Fifth Avenue and a lot of other retailers. But regardless,
forgive me. That is correct. And I remember you at all of those places and some wonderful interviews we did back in the day at Bloomberg Television. Sure. With my good friend Adam Johnson.
Yeah, always love talking to you. Very smart. Yeah. So look, Target's had a lot of problems, and their stock has been struggling for a long time, for over a year, and they're down 12%. Year to date, as we sit here right now. And their most recent decline actually began when both Target and Walmart released earnings. And the comparison was not flattering to Target. And so this is the first quarter earnings that ended at the end of April. And what you saw is Target's sales were flat when Walmart's were up 7%. And so that's a fundamental issue of performance of the business. And so what's going on there is that the consumer is very stressed. And during difficult times, consumers buy necessities like food, health and beauty care products, and Walmart's far stronger in those areas, plus has a far stronger value emphasis. So ever since both chains began, and they began in the same year, historical fact, in 1961, during good times, Target does better. During times when consumers are stressed, Walmart does better. This is a time when Target is doing much worse than Walmart. And that's why the stock is falling. That's why most of the analysts have downgraded the stock, is because of the relative performance of the two companies.
Mm-hmm. Why is it doing so poorly? I mean, it's a big, broad question there, but what's your overall view?
Some of it's just the times we're in. Target also emphasizes apparel, for example, and this is not a time when people are buying discretionary products like clothing in large numbers. Some of it's just the positioning of the companies and the times that we're in. Also, there are some big execution issues at Target. Ever since their peak in the middle of the pandemic, Target has been having a lot of difficulties getting their inventory balanced correctly. They've been much slower to fix that than their competitors have. They're out of stock on a lot of products that they didn't, used to be in stock on. You used to be able to count on Target to have the product that you wanted. They feel a little off strategy to me, in the sense that they're putting products in the aisles, whereas before they prided themselves on a clean, inviting atmosphere with wide open aisles. There's a lot of promotional activity going on at Target, sort of BOGOs, our listeners.
Ooh, BOGOs? For those of us not in the know.
Which doesn't sound like Target. It undermines the price integrity of the chain. Okay. And also there are lines when you go to check out, which there never used to be at Target. And so, it was sort of this sort of sense of seamless shopping, that really made Target do quite well. So there's a lot of economy-wide pressures on Target right now. And there are a lot of specific issues where the company has some work to do.
Well, it sounds like to me this is kind of a management issue. I know in having spoken with you in the past that you were pretty hands-on, and in your role at the company really took things like inventory very, very seriously. You had a meeting once a week early in the morning, I believe, to address the inventory issues. You now tell me they have inventory issues. I mean, is this an algorithm thing, or is this just nobody really minding the store, literally?
Look, the management there has a fine reputation. Brian Cornell did great for many years at Target until he hit the recent bumps there. I'm not inside the company. I can't see the numbers. Don't know what's going on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly some fundamental issues with the business that did not used to exist.
Mm-hmm. Brian Cornell, CEO now of the company. And again, as we look at the stock price, having lost quite a bit of ground, I mean, upwards of $12 billion, really, just in the last couple of weeks. Now, I know a lot of people, especially in conservative media, want to put it on this particular products, a few particular products and some of the pride displays going on. And that's part of it. But we're talking again with a former executive there at the company, Jerry Storch, who has a lot of reasons why he thinks that this company is challenged right now, including whether or not it can keep up in this economy, and also the sort of tactic overall, whether it be managing inventory, having messy aisles, and long checkout lines. You know, Jerry, you throw in what just happened, and from a PR perspective, they're dealing with that battle, and they seem to have kind of made everyone mad. You know, whether you are all for, you know, LGBTQ, or whether you are not for it, or whether you're just somebody who's kind of in the middle that says, wait a second, why do I have to even think about this when I go shopping? So from a PR perspective, what do they do now? Are they finding themselves a little bit like Bud Light?
Well, I think there are some key differences in those cases. But in the Bud Light case, it just seems like a profound lack of understanding of their customer and fundamental principles of marketing. And so you try to think about who you're trying to appeal to, what's the customer segment you're going after, and you make sure that you do that. It feels like they were trying it, but in the Bud Light case, to extend their brand to places that it didn't go. You know, they were trying to push the edge, if you will, to expand the audience into areas that didn't fit with the brand profile of Budweiser. And they should have done that with other brands of beer, not with the same brand of beer. And so there's nothing wrong with trying to expand your audience. Just think about how you're doing that. And so what they did in the process was they offended their core audience, it appears a way that has had more legs than I think a lot of people thought it might, continues to this day. So that was a fundamental sort of almost, I hate to use it, it's almost like marketing malpractice. You know, they weren't thoughtful about how they were going after their segments and how to do that overall. In the case of Target has been offering Pride merchandise for a very long time and has been, like many retailers, an active supporter of Pride Month. And it's not just Target. Walmart has a big Pride display. So does Kohl's. So does Macy's. So does Penny's. Almost every retailer does this. And Target's been doing it for a long time. It feels like in this case, maybe they didn't vet the products quite as carefully as they had in the past or as other retailers are doing, just to make sure they understood what was offensive to people and what wasn't when you go there.
Do they typically vet them? I mean, I'm curious about that. Like, what would be the process when you were there?
You could vet every product. We have line reviews where you go through every product and you talk about them. And this, not just in this area, it could be in almost any area. You could say, well, that's a little too much. You know, you went too far with that one, where people are always trying to push the boundaries of what's in and what's out. And we make decisions about this in all kinds of areas, not just in this area, but whether, you know, related to anything that could potentially be controversial. You think through it, whether or not it's really worth it, because we want to love everybody. You have love for people on all sides of an issue, people everywhere. And so you want to show that in what you do. So you think about both the people you're trying to support, as well as people who might be offended by what you're trying to do.
And then maybe you should bring your inventory people in and say, well, wait a second, like, how many of these are we really going to sell? Like, how big of an audience are we really going to reach with this? Because otherwise you're going to be left with a whole lot of inventory in a specific swimsuit line.
I'm sure they didn't buy very much of this, to be honest with you. This is more a matter of just showing support, as all retailers do. And so clearly Target made some mistakes here in what they put in the assortment and how they dealt with it after the fact, or else they wouldn't have been singled out compared. I mean, go to any retailer and you will see Pride merchandise today.
Sure.
So it's really the nature of a few of the products and the way that their response was handled. And the answer has to be the same general principle that I mentioned before. And people say, what are you talking about there? But show love. That's what you have to do. Think about your entire audience and say, how do I show love? And so that always has worked for me. I remember a time when I was at Toys R Us, and we owned Babies R Us, and that we had the first Baby of the Year contest. And the first baby turned out to be born to an undocumented immigrant. And according to the rules of the contest, they shouldn't get the prize because they didn't have a tax ID number or something. And people were up in arms on all sides of it. And so we thought about, what do we do about this? And then we, you know what? The second baby of the year, too, that's a good baby, too. So we gave everybody, both of them, the two babies, the prize for, it's really for their future education. And we put out a big press release. We love all babies.
And
it ended, it ended instantly. Who doesn't love babies? You know, we love all babies.
Yeah. Well, that's a good solution. Like, you know, you used to be over at the State Department. Listen, right. I mean, this is a problem for corporate America, though, is it not? I mean, how do you dodge these landmines? I mean, they keep coming up. And you got to be able to kind of almost make everyone happy and not get too political.
Well, I think you have to have sincerity. And so I always remind people that whether it's our employees, whether it's our customers, and whether it's our community, this country's pretty divided right now. And so anything you do, it should be real. It should be sincere, not an attempt to demonstrate something else, but it should be doing what you think you should be doing. And so that should be the guiding principle. And wherever possible, you just try to keep out of politics altogether. And I would say, separate what you think individually, because you or I may think different things. You know, most of the country, if you look at the polls, seem to be somewhat more socially liberal and fiscally conservative. But we never have choices like that in, you know, our political choices. So given that makeup, how do you handle it? I remember we had a forum, again, back at Toys R Us, which is based in New Jersey. And we had Governor Chris Christie come to speak. And so he spoke, and people were polite. They loved it. They liked having him there. And, you know, New Jersey generally, a little bit of a blue state, if not purple. So then we had Cory Booker come. Mm-hmm. Cory Booker is a very interesting man, but you know, on the other side. And so we brought both of them, and that way we were not taking sides. But yet we weren't trying to pretend like we didn't live in this world.
There are solutions. I think you got to have thoughtful people at the top. What's the fate of Brian Cornell here? What would be your number one piece of advice for him at this moment in time?
Well, I just like always is to focus on the performance of the business is, you know, critical. They're having a lot of trouble right now. I think he knows what to do about that and just roll up the sleeves and get to work on that. As far as this issue, again, I'm not inside. I don't see what's going on with sales or the boycotts. So I don't really have the facts to say what to do. But I would look for ways, again, to show love to everybody. Start with that principle and the answer will come to you. I mean, I've thought of things like, well, maybe they should have this one month and then another month, you know, have merchandise, you know, that's very, you know, for example, very patriotic. We have July 4th coming up. So emphasize that. In a very, very meaningful way. You have Labor Day coming up. You have back to school coming up. Maybe you have things. Mm-hmm. You know, what else are people interested in that might show support? You know, for everybody. Target has a history, by the way, of supporting. You know, sort of. You know, I remember when I was there were Christian causes, and so you had Amy Grant was a big with Target doing a lot of recordings. And also, there's maybe rely on that a little bit. Some of that, but not as like the main focus of the story. I'm just saying, you don't have to hide. You know, it's not that, but you don't have to take sides either. So you look for a way. I'll come back to that. You know, we love all babies. Okay, we love everyone. We want to start with that in a very sincere way. It's not BS, you know? Yeah. So how do you do that?
Yeah, no, good advice. Well, I look forward to having you back on because there's other industry concerns, I think, in retail, and it's changing quickly. We didn't even get a chance to talk about some of the theft issues, which I think are pretty real. But, you know, what is the technology, for example, of the future to help some of these companies address those concerns? I'd love to have you back. But, Jerry, I so appreciate your time today, and I think this is very, very good advice for anyone in corporate America right now confronting these challenges.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. So good to see Gerald, of course. Jerry, he's just had a legendary career in retail. And of course, so many of you know him from Toys R Us, which we all miss. I saw that in the comments. We do miss that company. I remember that like as a kid and just a great company. So we do miss that one. Babies R Us was also, you know, as you heard from him, part of his deal. And I mean, this is just one big disaster. And I think what it sort of comes down to, and he said this, you know, he's very polite. And he has to be, and he sits on a lot of boards at a lot of private companies, and nobody sort of wants to sock it to your former employer. I mean, it's hard, right? Like, here, you know, I talk to you guys about Fox all the time, but it's a little, you know, you want to be tasteful. You don't want to totally, you know, go for the jugular. But, you know, I think if you read between the lines, what he's saying is, the company's like messed up, period. Like there are some management challenges there. You heard him talk about sort of, you know, the aisles and how much stuff is there and the BOGOs. I didn't know what the BOGO was. Did you guys know what a BOGO was? buy one, get one free. I had to write it down. So like, I'm not steeped enough in retail that I know what the BOGO is. Anyway, he said, like, we never used to do that at Target, right? So now that they're filled with BOGOs, they've got all this junk in the aisles. Part of the Pride stuff actually was to throw it all in the aisles. So the kind of clean look that Target used to have, and that's why people wanted to shop there. It was kind of, you know, upscale Target, if you would. Some of that's lost, especially with the lines, et cetera. And then the inventory, you know, he mentioned inventory was an issue. You heard me say that, you know, he used to have a meeting with everybody for inventory at 7 a.m. every Tuesday morning, just constantly keep tabs on that. And their inventories are all messed up. They have lots of one thing, not enough of another. So the store is going downhill. And then you factor in the Tuckett stuff, which I'm sorry, but like somebody needs to mind the store. Where's the CEO? Where is Brian Cornett? Why isn't he having an inventory at 7 a.m. on Tuesday mornings? Why is he allowing for so many long lines? Why is he suddenly coming up with this buy one, get one free if that was like totally against company policy? Apparently this is just 15% off. And why wasn't he involved in the decision-making over what would be the Pride display? Because an adult in the room should have said, you know what, guys, like, we're going too far here. Like, why are we talking about children's genitalia? Like, someone had to have that conversation. And if they presented it to him and he was fine with it, then okay, that's a bad judgment call on his part. And therefore, I would just say, like, I don't know why the guy's still CEO. If they didn't present it to him, then that's still bad. You understand, right? Because then that shows he's not entrenched enough with the business, because he should have known a controversial product like that really needed his sign off. So do you guys know a YouTuber named Alex Klein? I actually was watching Benny. You remember Benny was on the show the other day, the Benny Show. He also is a YouTuber, and he's hysterical. And he did something on Alex. So I credit Benny for showing this, and I credit Alex for having the nerve to go and try one of these swimsuits on to make sure that, in fact, the Tuckett stuff really works. Anyway, Alex was really funny about it, and I want to share some of what he did with you right now and get your reaction. Here we go.
This is not, you guys see this? It's tuck friendly.
So he's trying this on.
Yeah, I saw it on TikTok.
We're at Target checking out their Tuck Friendly Pride collection. That's right, guys. Extra crotch coverage, Tuck Friendly construction.
I mean, it's weird, right? You got to admit, it's weird to have a product like that on store shelves out in front.
Tuck Friendly construction. Okay. Well, let's see how Tuck Friendly it is.
And well, you can.
Wow, it's so Tuck Friendly. It's nice to know. Guys, come on.
This is funny. He goes out and talks to the sales.
I love the Tuck Friendly bathing suit. This is not. You guys see this?
I think he got like the adult swimsuit version of it, huh? Even the salespeople start to laugh. I mean, it's too much. It's just too much, right? Like, I mean, really and truly. Anyway, let me fast forward to it, because he actually gets really excited and says he can run in the thing too, which is. Cracked me up. I actually laughed out
loud. Love it. Thank you, Target. I just feel like I could run. I could exercise in this.
All right. So he's having a good time. For those of you that didn't feel like seeing a man in a swimsuit this early in the day, I apologize. But I felt like you needed to see it. Because you know what? It's one thing to talk about the swimsuit. It's another thing to actually see it. And that was a large size. But to think that, like, that's what's on display for kids. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. Like, that's, you're just going too far. Like, it's one thing to show compassion. And it's another thing to do that. And then I haven't even gotten into the whole satanic thing, right? Because there was one of the designers. I don't know if he was the designer of the specific Tuckett swimsuit or the binders, or if he was just, you know, designing rainbow onesies, but he also has come under fire because he has ties to some kind of satanic cult brand. Yeah, like you can't make this up. Nobody vetted anybody. Nobody vetted anybody. This is Eric Carnell, who was born a woman but now identifies as a man. And he has this whole line of clothing out that is all about, well, respecting Satan because Satan respects pronouns. I mean, it's weird. Again, like, where are the people in charge of research and vetting? And when he came out and said, oh, this is all a big misunderstanding, this is misinformation, I'm sorry, you're the one with the website that Satan loves and respects who you are, blah, blah, blah. So you can imagine, of course, that parents are like, wait a second. Like, what's going on here? This is like a step too far. And again, I go back to, like, who's in charge? What is, you know what? Jerry was very diplomatic. He didn't come out and nail the CEO because, you know, he used to work there. I get it. And he doesn't want to do that. But I don't care. And I can do that. So I'm just going to come out and nail the CEO. I'm sorry, but, you know, the buck stops with you, buddy. And you can blame this guy. Let me pull him up for you. This is the marketing executive, I guess, that came up with the whole idea behind all this. Why did your marketing executive, Carlos Saavedra, why did he not bring these merchandise examples to your attention, Brian, CEO, and Brian Cornell? If he did, then I'm sorry, but, like, you know, you need to take ownership of it, right? Because let me go back to the stock price again. Look, at the end of the day, investors are not happy. Look where you are now. They have recovered a teeny tiny bit. They're up, like, I don't know, 1% in today's trading because it's just been such a bloodbath there for Target. But to think they were at nearly 161 and now you're all the way down hanging out around 130 kind of reminds me of someone else, kind of reminds me of one other company. And that would be, of course, Bud Light. That would be Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch was some $27 billion. Now, interestingly, the analyst community has come right out and cited this whole boycott as the problem. You're not seeing that yet with Target only because, as Jerry was explaining, there's so many other things that are going on. There's such a huge problem, which is why I get back to, again, management. Who's in charge? Brian Cornell isn't doing the job that an investor would want him to do if, one, he's not able to bring in new consumers enough during, you know, a challenging time. So they rely on discretionary spending. It's like 54% of their overall business. And so they want people to just buy those little items here and there that they maybe otherwise wouldn't buy. But they're not having that happen because why? Oh, inflation is so bad. So inflation, even though it's been easing a teeny tiny little bit, it's still pretty high. And you're seeing some weakness in the jobs market. I mean, the last jobs report kind of conflicted with that. But, you know, I'd say in fairness, like, people are kind of not certain about the economy. So maybe they're not spending as much money. So if your target, what is your job? You want to get all those people that maybe would have gone to Macy's or Kohl's. Kohl's, by the way, also having some of these troubles. You would get them and say, okay, well, come shop at Target because it's a better experience. And then maybe they'll sort of trade down, if you would, because if you think of Macy's like up here, then maybe Target, you know, you get that trade down effect and that should be good for your stock price because you should be able to support sales. But that is not happening. So the company's a mess. They've got junk in the aisles. They got BOGOs like you wouldn't believe. Buy one, get one free. Not really something. Jerry told me, I don't know if he said this on camera, but he basically said, he told me this, like, you'd get fired for a BOGO. Like, you never put BOGOs. Buy one, get one free. You'd do 15% off and actually never more than 15% off because all you're doing is telling a customer effectively, you know, if you paid full price, you're the moron. So you don't want to dump on your customers. And I think that's effectively what they ultimately did here. Just like somebody else we know. Now, who would that be? You remember this lady, right? I mean, this is just, this is the epic soundbite from the podcast that the woman from Bud Light did, Alyssa Heinerschneid. And it was just so outrageous and so incredible and so tone deaf. And while Brian Cornell hasn't been caught doing anything quite like that, I would still say these moves from the company are just
actually literally tone deaf, right? I mean, over and over again, we've heard this, and I'm going to play it if I can find it, just because it's worth doing so, to remind us of how out of touch she was. Okay, we'll get to that in a second because I get something better. I mean, this is taking a life of its own on. The analyst community, as I mentioned, they haven't quite admitted the boycott problem. They are admitting that theft is a problem. They are admitting that overall economic challenges are a problem. But then, of course, you got something else going on. This Target song made it to number one on iTunes, beating out Taylor Swift. That's not good. Yeah. Catchy, right? All right. So this is like worst nightmare ever for a management team. But it could have been avoided. It could have been prevented. Just like it could have been prevented over at Bud Light if anyone there had any clue, if anyone bothered to even try and understand the customer base they had.
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And my, what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men. Mm-hmm. And representation is at sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor. And it was really important that we had another approach.
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money, too.
Ooh, best gift ever. The gift that keeps on giving. $27 billion and counting. That is how much this company has lost in terms of its overall value, its market cap on Wall Street. Ever since this little ordeal, you know, a lot of people thought in the beginning, this is not going to be, that's not going to be such a big deal. You know, everybody will get over it. And my response was, nope. Like, this is actually, this is one of those things where I don't know how they quite move forward in a productive way because you just can't get it out of your head. You can't, right? Now, every time you see Bud Light, that's what you see. It is. Is so sensational. It is so much a part of our psyche now and our thought process. And now it's just that Dylan Mulvaney beer. And then because the company reacted as they did and they were, oh my gosh, you know, what do we do? First of all, they took too long. And then they tried to say it was misinformation. And then they're like, eh. So they tried to have it both ways. They also came out with those weird commercials that were uber, uber patriotic with country music and barbecues and stuff, and nobody bought it. It wasn't authentic. And as a result, they have angered everyone. So no one wants Bud Light. No one wants Anheuser-Busch. And I guess the question on this one, and people aren't quite saying that yet, is whether or not you have to ask whether Target has lost the trust of its customers. Now, it was one product inside a massive store. So, you know, maybe people are like, oh, I still go to Target because I like this and I like that. And so maybe there's more wiggle room there. But I do think that moms are kind of like, yeah, you know, for me, the final straw was the Satan designer. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I got a lot of compassion. I'll put up with a lot. But, you know, when you're throwing this in our face, and then behind the scenes, we learn the guy is designing clothing to worship Satan. Well, now you're just taking it to a whole other level, right? And I think that Main Street America really feels that way as well. I think all of you guys do as well, too, right? I mean, look, I'm thrilled that Jerry came on the show, and I think he's got a lot of terrific insight. My recommendation would be for management to give him a call and ask for a little bit of advice, because I think he could really help them pull it back together. Just obviously, truly a well-skilled person in terms of understanding customers and retail. And I know a lot of you were joking around with the whole love everyone, but I think if you read through the lines there, the point is that you have to understand and accept your customer. Anybody who's willing to come and spend money at your store, you need to have a sensitivity to and an appreciation of in a real and authentic way. And it shouldn't be that hard to do. But simultaneously, if you're going to do that, you also have to respect people's values. And in respecting their values, putting the Tuckett swimsuit on display, or by the way, now you're talking about children's genitalia. And by the way, some of the merchandise was created by this designer who also creates products to worship Satan. Now you're going in a direction that I don't think you can quite recover from. So you factor that together, bad, bad PR, especially moms are like, what the heck? Combined with not a very clean store, long lines, not very good deals for customers, and a major theft problem, and you got yourself a recipe for a very challenged company. That's my thought on Target. Curious to hear more of your thoughts. Of course, I always look at all of these comments below. So I do encourage you to leave a comment. I love seeing all that you guys have to say. It's a weird time. ESG, we didn't even get into it, but you can see some of my pieces on ESG. I think that's a big part of why all of this is happening and why companies are not thinking as hard as they should. Please make sure you subscribe, and let's come back here tomorrow. I'll see you soon.